or Montclair or Upper Montclair or Elizabeth or Nutley. We're asking you to make the call that makes a difference. Short Hills, Morristown, West Orange, Patterson, Englewood, Maplewood, you call. Have I even called out Brooklyn? Williamsburg, we need you. If you live in Park Slope or Brooklyn Heights or Crown Heights or Fort Greene or Brownsville, we're asking you to make the call that makes a difference. Please call in right now. Manhattan Beach, we need you. We ask you to call in and let us know that you are in the house. Please call in. We only have a few minutes, and right now we are offering War on Whistleblowers, Free Press, and the National Security State. It is a fascinating documentary. It is a critical time in our nation's history when the press, when the government, yes, sadly, the government of President Barack Obama has the press in the crosshairs. And it is a message not only to Associated Press, but to all journalists and all whistleblowers or would-be whistleblowers. They are trying to say, we will catch you. But I thought that whistleblowers, as I was growing up, were the people who saved us. We urge you to go to the phone right now and let us know that you are there. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Get the documentary that'll knock your socks off. $100 contribution and it's yours. Please call in Hicksville, Hempstead, Freeport, West Babylon, Brentwood, Hafog, Islip, Huntington. We need your support. We ask you to be there. If you live anywhere in the Bronx and Yonkers and White Plains and Patterson and Clifton, we're asking you to call in right now. Maybe you live in Palisades. Make the call that makes a difference. Or you live somewhere around the world, you're listening at BAI.org. Please call in right now. Let us know you're in the house. Let us know you're standing up for independent media. 516-620-3602. And if you want to come to the set of Democracy Now, watch the broadcast, bring a special guest, and I'll host you for dinner. Call in right now. 516-620-3602. And if you want to come to the set of Democracy Now, watch the broadcast, bring a special guest, and I'll host you for dinner. Call in right now. 516-620-3602. It's a $2,000 tax-deductible charitable contribution for dinner and a show. You don't have to know when you can do it. Just make the pledge right now. We'll pledge $25 for a Democracy Now bumper sticker. But do it now. 516-620-3602. War on Whistleblowers DVD is yours for a $100 contribution. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
I'm Ken Gale, host of Ecologic on Tuesday evenings. I'm speaking the day before Halloween on how you can save money and help save the earth at the same time. How we use energy is harmful to the planet, wasteful, and expensive for ourselves, even though there have been solutions for decades. I'll go into detail on the problems and the solutions. No to poison power, fossil fuel, and nuclear. Yes to efficiency and renewable energy. That's Sunday, October 30th, 11 a.m., on the fourth floor of the New York Society for Ethical Culture, which is on the corner of 64th Street and Central Park West. Free admission.
My name is Dan Ingram, and I'm a WBAI fan. They've always been, you know, the station that kicked butt and the station that said what you're not supposed to say because the people in power don't want to hear it. And I love that.
I have to celebrate you, baby. Oh, how happy you have made me. Oh, how happy you have made me. I have kissed your lips a thousand times, and more times than I can count. I have called you mine, you have stood by me in my...
From New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, nice to be with you today. And I'd like to welcome all the people who are going to spend this hour. This is going to be an unusual hour. We'll probably be joined a little later, Reggie, as you know, with someone, so
okay.
We'll see who's coming. I'm going to be playing some very interesting audio clips, plus I'm going to share some information of what I've been discovering from different news sources and WikiLeaks that ties everything together. Do you realize how frustrating it is that you're out there talking about health and nutrition and have a good fiber diet and get out and do some exercise? This is the 1960s and 70s, and people look at you like you're, you know, what's wrong with you? You know, food doesn't have anything to do with health.
Of course.
You know, just as long as you're well-fed. And that's the environment I grew up in. I even remember running across the Belpre Bridge one day doing a workout, and I was stopped by the police. And they said, what are you running from? I said, I'm just out here running. Why? To keep in shape? And they're just laughing. And I can remember that. And so imagine then doing years of research, real scholarship, to ask a fundamental question. Is anyone behind the mistakes that are obviously being made by so many people at so many levels in corporate America and in our governmental agencies? Or is it just complete ineptitude, indifference, stupidity? And along the way, each piece of this puzzle began to find a connection. And it led me to end up doing a very special series called Deep State, The Masters of Wealth Who Control the World. Now, there was a time, probably 5 years ago, if you said, oh, you know, there's a group of people that control everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're just a conspiracy nut. No, conspiracies are real. I mean, look every single day when one of the biggest hedge fund managers in the world was caught conspiring by inside trading. That's a conspiracy. Like 20 people were found guilty and many went to jail, including the head of the fund. When you have Goldman Sachs manipulating currencies and actually selling out their own people, telling them to buy a stock and then shorting it. So that you're telling them it's going high and you buy low and you win. That's a conspiracy. Lots of people had to be involved in that. So we have thousands of conspiracies every single day in the United States when people conspire to do something that benefits them in a secret way, but not you. That's a conspiracy. And that's why every day you see how many people are going to jail or being fined or being sentenced. But we never put it all together. It's like we're willing to accept it in specific instances, but not in the larger aggregate. And I'm saying our entire society today is based on people who want to see their interests served, irrespective of their motives, first and foremost. And if that means conspiring to do something that gains them a position of power. Now, this special, this four-hour special, will include in-depth look at the CIA and the two most powerful people in America, the Dulles brothers. One of the brothers was the head of the CIA. The other was head of Secretary of State. But they were both head of a company, Brown Harriman, that was the largest private pool of money ever collected in American history, where well over $3.5 of the Rockefeller money, the Morgan money, all the big people put their money with them because they knew how to grow it. So on the outside, you can say, well, what's the big deal? It's just a group of rich people who want to see more money come to them. True, not a problem. I don't have a problem with that. You know, as long as you make your money ethically and morally, what you do with it's your business. It's not mine. But what if, because they had this power and therefore they had no limitation, what if they sought to make money in ways that was adverse to the environment or to peoples or groups? What if they knew that the uranium mines that they oversaw, one of their European subsidiaries, I think it was a Belgian company, oversaw in Africa, was a major cause of cancer, but they never told the workers because they were disposable. They weren't important. What if in the minds of these Dulles brothers and these wealth masters, unless you're one of them, unless you're one of these very unique, almost mythical objects of affection and adoration of how much money you made, how large your yacht is. Didn't we just find out through WikiLeaks that the new crown, the person who is not the crown prince, that's his cousin, but in Saudi Arabia, but the person whose father is now the ruler of absolute monarchy. Mm-hmm. He's only 31 years old, and he's the one who decided to invade Yemen. He's the one who decided to change the way everything is done in Saudi Arabia. I'll bet that doesn't work well. You got 5,000 relatives who don't like you now. But he went out. He was at a party in I believe it was the south of France, and he saw a mega yacht. And he had his aide go over there, and he bought the yacht from a Russian oligarch. For $500 $1 million, $500 million. And yet at the same time, this is the same man who has told tens of thousands of workers for private corporations in Saudi Arabia, we don't have money to pay you. And contractors are going broke. And money is drying up. And public services that used to be for free now either cost or are not there at all. So on the one hand, you have someone who feels so entitled that they will drop $500 million in cash in under 3 hours to buy a yacht they want, another toy. And yet people in their country are hungry. So that's the kind of mindset where if you met this person, you might find them charming. You might find them charismatic, like a Bill Clinton. But it's not so, you know, charming if you're one of the families whose child is dying because of water pollution, because of his, you know, what he did in Iraq and putting sanctions so that they couldn't get water filtration in, and yet they intentionally bombed, which is a violation of the Geneva Convention, a civilian infrastructure necessary for life, electric plants and water purification plants. But no one holds that on the, in the liberal community against him because everybody loves him. Yeah, he's a lovable guy. He's charming. I think he's very charming. He's nice to listen to. The fact that he's a pathological liar is irrelevant. The fact that he's sexually abused a lot of people is irrelevant. I spoke with one of his lovers, in fact, his longest lover, 29 years, who told me that he bragged about having over 2,000 lovers. Well, I said, that's his business. If that's the arrangement he had with his wife, that's not my business. I don't care what he did. I don't even want you to tell me what he did. I would just like to think that the man who's the most powerful man in the world, the President of the United States, would have a higher moral and ethical bearing. That therefore, if he's willing to make those compromises on a personal level, then how susceptible is he to making compromising himself on all other levels? Mm. Do you understand what I'm saying here?
Absolutely.
That if you're not a person of higher moral standing, then why in the world would I assume that you're going to be honest on everything else?
That's true.
I haven't seen someone who will steal from one person and not steal from someone else. And then you say, well, they're not a thief. They didn't steal from me, but they stole from someone else. Someone who lies to you but won't lie to someone else and say, they didn't lie to me, but they lied to you, so they're a liar. If they betray one person, don't betray another, they're a betrayer. Mm-hmm. The complete lack of moral character in our elected officials, the majority, not all, but certainly in those who've been to presidents, look at all of them. I mean, you couldn't find a more ragtag group of dysfunctionals, and yet these are the most powerful people in the world. So imagine them. Do you really think these people are powerful? Do you think the President of the United States is powerful? Compared to whom?
Right.
Compared to the people, the average citizen? You bet.
Yeah.
Compared to a protester who's wanting to stop gas hydrofracking and the pipeline from coming down? You bet.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to an environmentalist who doesn't want to see the great forests or the Washington, Oregon woods privatized and then sold off, and therefore, yeah, the president's more powerful. In fact, the president will direct the National Security Advisor and the CIA to infiltrate. Every single protest group in America mm-hmm. is infiltrated. In some cases, as many as 10% of the entire membership are provocateurs and infiltrators. So who are they protecting? The infiltrators. They're protecting those who assign them this idea that these people represent a clear and present danger to the establishment. Whose establishment? How could protesting how animals are treated, how could a person protesting Occupy Wall Street by camping out, you know, in a pup tent down in Wall Street, how are they a danger to anyone?
It's true.
Because we create a perception that they're dangerous. And when you create a perception that someone's dangerous, so Malcolm X is dangerous, Martin Luther King, a danger, Robert Kennedy, after he made his transformation and actually became a human being, dangerous. When John F. Kennedy decided he was no longer going to be one of the Eastern elite and started to go more towards a humanistic position and wasn't willing to invade Cuba and have another war and wasn't willing to send more troops in after initially causing the Diem brothers to be assassinated. You're aware he assassinated the Diem brothers. But then he turned around. Well, that they don't want that. You can't be part of them one day
right.
and then walk out the door the next day. It's like you know, you cannot be a part of organized crime and say, oh, thank God, it's my retirement day. No, you'll retire when we put some concrete on your shoes and you hit the bottom of the river. That's when you retire. Or Big Sammy's got a bullet for you. You don't retire from the mob. You don't retire from this group, this deep state group. You're allowed to become less active. You can be more passive. You can enjoy your ill-gotten gains. But you never go against them. Because behind every one of these presidents, is someone far more powerful. These are the wealth masters.
That's right.
And that's what America has not known. That's where the media would have laughed and huffed and puffed and said, this is just a conspiracy nut theory. Okay, you think it's a conspiracy theory? You think I'm the one who doesn't have my facts? I'm the one who doesn't have a scholarship on my side? I do. But let's play now someone who told us this and nobody was willing to listen. No media, no institution, nothing happened. But one man stood out because he saw these people. He was terrified of them. He was afraid, and he was right. Listen up, please. Let's play that clip.
Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned. No rumor is printed. No secret is revealed. No president should fear public scrutiny of his program. For from that scrutiny comes understanding, and from that understanding comes support or opposition, and both are necessary. I am not asking your newspapers to support an administration, but I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people. For I have complete confidence and the response and dedication of our citizens whenever they are fully informed. I not only could not stifle controversy among your readers, I welcome it. This administration intends to be candid about its errors. For as a wise man once said, an error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. We intend to accept full responsibility for our errors, and we expect you to point them out when we miss them. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed. and no republic can survive. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. And that is why our press was protected by the First Amendment, the only business in America specifically protected by the Constitution, not primarily to amuse and entertain, not to emphasize the trivial and the sentimental, not to simply give the public what it wants, but to inform, to arouse, to reflect, to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crises and our choices, to lead, mold, educate, and sometimes even anger public opinion. This means greater coverage and analysis of international news, for it is no longer far away and foreign, but close at hand and local. It means greater attention to improved understanding of the news, as well as improved transmission. And it means, finally, that government at all levels must meet its obligation to provide you with the fullest possible information outside the narrowest limits of national security. And so it is to the printing press, to the recorder of man's deeds, the keeper of his conscience, the courier of his news, that we look for strength and assistance, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
Now, that was President John F. Kennedy, and the very people that he was concerned about, the military, industrial, and banking complex, are the ones who conspired against him. And President Eisenhower said the same thing before him.
That's right.
This is another president, quote, "An invisible empire has been set up in our nation above the forms of democracy, a power so organized, so watchful, so interlocked, so complete, and so pervasive that some of the biggest men in the United States in the films of commerce, manufacturing, government know they better not speak with their breath when they speak in condemnation of this group," end quote. That was Woodrow Wilson, 1913. He was referring to a small group of men who, since the end of the Civil War, have controlled the U.S. domestic and foreign policy from behind the scenes. They are the puppet masters, the presidents, the legislators. They are the puppets, acting on the shadows that they know will never be revealed. They can engage in assassination of the Kennedy brothers. They can use the Warren Commission to cover it up. They created the CIA, the Watergate, that was a conspiracy. Iran-Contra, that was a conspiracy. They funded the Third Reich's rise to power. They funded Hitler. That was a conspiracy. They covered up the truth about 9/11. Even its own authors, its lead authors of 9/11, has so stated. They have launched never-ending wars against terrorism based upon false concepts like, well, Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction. He did not. Libya, Gaddafi was killing his own citizens. He was not. And Syria represented a threat to the world. They did not. Their activities are critical because we do not recognize them. So I brought in the one person, Danny Sheehan. During the last 45 years, he's handled the Pentagon Papers. In fact, if it weren't for Danny Sheehan, the New York Times would not have published the Pentagon Papers. He was the person who gave us the insights on the Watergate break-in, Iran-Contra, the Karen Silkwood, where McCurdy was found guilty of her murder, and Three Mile Island nuclear facility disaster. He was giving us all this information, and he is the person who takes us on the tour of the deep state. But also, just look what we've learned concerning the inner workings of the CDC about how it did the Tuskegee experiment. That was a conspiracy, where they thought so little of African Americans, they were willing to take over 400 African American men and women, allow them to maintain syphilis that could easily have been cured so they could study what happened over 40 years. That meant that they considered people like lab rats. Look at the CDC under Dr. William Thompson. This is brand new, where Thompson felt so guilt-ridden that he called to Dr. Brian Hooker, and Hooker is a scientist. And he was telling Hooker about, I don't know what to do. We falsified studies. We had African-American children who had a 324% increase in autism when we gave them the MMR vaccine under the age of 36 months, but we had to cover it up. because our policy is that to support vaccinations and the manufacturers, not to support the health people. So I had all the scientists here bring in their work, and we threw it in black garbage bags. But then I got this thought, what if it ever comes out and I have them held accountable? So I kept one set aside. He didn't know that Brian Hook was recording him. Now, what if you, Reggie, you went on the air and said, I believe that the head of vaccinations at the CDC is engaged in a conspiracy that adversely affects black children. What do you think would happen to you if you said that?
Not very good things would happen.
That's correct. You'd be ridiculed, mocked. There'd be demonstrations right. against you outside of BAI headquarters.
That's right.
You know, you'd be thrown out of the station.
Oh.
But now we know it's true, absolutely positive true, because the person said it and was recorded, and now there's a documentary called Vaxxed. Well, the person in Vax, Dr. Andrew Wakefield, what radio station had him on a six-hour special where I personally debated his attacker on that? That was Andrew Wakefield on WBAI. Mm. Now we've exonerated him because when he said that he, Dr. Andrew Wakefield, and a group of scientists, gastroenterologists, were finding autistic symptoms in children who had received the MMR vaccine, he was ridiculed. He was mocked. He lost his license to practice medicine. Who was doing that study? William Thompson. Hmm. So not only did William Thompson do the study that would have exonerated, proved that Andrew Wakefield was right, he lied about it. And then Wakefield took the bullet. And who led that destruction on CNN? Anderson Cooper. Who vilified CNN vilified. So what do we now know? We know that Wakefield was right. We know there was a conspiracy. We know that who was behind it. But who would have been behind this? Big Pharma. Mm-hmm. And who's behind Big Pharma? The people who are the major stockholders in these companies. Do you know that one family, the Rockefeller family, has more private ownership in banks and insurance companies as though the Rothschilds, but never in their name? But it's not, they don't want their name because they don't want to be a target. So they buy up the majority of stock, enough over 5% of the stock in a company, you can get on their board of directors often, in which case then you can control the outcome of a company. So but if you own stock that makes you the leading stockholder in 58 different banks, then you can control everything that bank is doing. You benefit. Now, what if three of the banks that you own are also part of the Federal Reserve banking system? Now imagine how much money you're making. Now imagine that you've sponsored legislators who are not held accountable for insider trading. They're exempt. So now you know through the Federal Reserve that you then have a meeting with the legislator, and that legislator goes and buys stock that no one else knows they should buy in a merger or acquisition. They get to bid. That's the law right now. Nancy Pelosi, all these people profit. Is that right? Should there be two sets of laws, one that exempts you from crimes that everyone else be held accountable for? I talk about that in the deep state. But who's the guiding people behind it? Don't look at the Nancy Pelosi or the Hillary Clintons. Look at the people who ultimately benefit by controlling foreign policy, creating wars, the propaganda for wars. Now, what did we find out, Reggie? We found out that a group of people who are paid by the Democratic National Committee, who then take money through a foundation, so it's twice washed. But they then hire people to attend every one of Trump's rallies. And they put T-shirts on, like, we support Planned Parenthood. No, it's going to cause an argument. They get there early. They had one 69-year-old woman got there at 6 o'clock in the morning, so she would be interviewed by the press. Now, you've heard my feelings about Trump.
Right.
They are not good, right?
No, they are not good,
And I said that Trump never has to debate anyone because he's going to lose in the conversation with himself. he would actually get impeached by talking to himself. And if he had no one to grope, he would grope himself. The man is an inconsolable 14-year-old adolescent boy stuck in a narcissistic, entitled mindset. So there's nothing good that's ever going to come out of that brain of his.
Mm.
So the issue is, don't. Why do you have to do dirty tricks? But here's the takeaway message. The Clinton group controlled all of this, and it was revealed. it'll be more revealing that they've had dirty tricksters at every single one of these rallies. They have their cooperatives in the media. The New York Times is allowing them, as well as CNN, inside information and sharing information and going easy in debates and giving them questions in the debates. And they planted that young girl that asked a question. She asked, oh, I'm so surprised, young little cute girl. Get it close to the young little cute girl, and then I'll smile. It was all staged. Here's what we also know now. Quote from Kerry Gillum of The Hill. This is a legitimate concern. Concerns about the inner workings of the U.S. CDC have been mounting in recent months, and disclosures of cozy corporate alliances. Now a group of more than a dozen senior scientists have reportedly lodged an ethics complaint alleging the federal agency is being influenced by corporate and political interests in ways that shortchange taxpayers. A group calling itself the CDC Scientists Preserving Integrity, Diligence, and Ethics in Research put a list of complaints in writing in a letter to CDC Chief of Staff and provided a copy of the letter to the public watchdog U.S. Right to Know. So now we know that corporate interest, there's your deep state, is influencing all of our health concerns. So when I do the three documentaries, which have never been refuted on a single fact, because sitting across from me now is our in-house counsel, Scott London. We have, he goes to it for making sure every single fact, we bring outside scholars to research every single fact in every article, every broadcast documentary. So they will not criticize the accuracy of the documentaries that show there's never been a study of a double-blind placebo-controlled study, meaning you have half a group vaccinated, half not, and then see the results. They use one vaccine against another, that they control both vaccines. So they play the science. But what do? They attack you for your right to criticize them. How could you possibly attack? So the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, CNN, NBC, do they ever come to my office and say, Gary, show us your research. Show us your proof that there's no science justifying a vaccine. Show us your proof that that gas odor fracking destroys the environment. Show us your proof on genetically modified foods causing cancer. And we would. Instead, they say, how could he be right when we're told by the CDC, the U.S. Public Health Service, and by the corporate front groups and their doctors and scientists for hire that he's wrong, and we take their word for it.
And Gary,
so
let me
everywhere
jump in here
you
quickly.
Go.
Let me, hey, how are you doing, Gary?
Well,
let
hi,
me
Tony.
Jump in here quickly. And give the phone number out so people can get a copy of this four-disc, four-hour set. It's only an $85 pledge, 516-620-3602. Begin to make those phones ring because this is a comprehensive look, folks, a comprehensive look at deep state. And, Gary, what astounds me is with all of the evidence that you laid out, and one of the tidbits you left out there is that Anderson Cooper was an intern at the CIA in his college days, just saying. And as you said, when you get those jobs, you don't often leave them. Anyway, What astounds me is that people will still say there are no conspiracies. After Kennedy, after Eisenhower, after Vietnam, after the Gulf of Tonkin, after so many, after Dr. Wakefield, so many of these places that we can point specifically, people will still look you in the face and say, well, there are no conspiracies. Well, look at Bernie Sanders. Look at what just happened, and nothing happened to Bernie Sanders, Gary, I say, as much as what happened to the American people. You didn't have the choice to choose the president you actually wanted. And that was a conspiracy, folks. And here is the point, the final point you made there, Gary. CNN, MSNBC, ABC, none of them are showing up at your office asking for the evidence because they are a part of the collusion. They are part of the factor, as you said, or as Kennedy said, it's not just the government, it's science, it's media, it's the whole system works together to meet these ends. And that's why WBAI is so important. That's why Dr. Andrew Wakefield was on these airwaves for 6 hours with Gary Null. That's why Gary Null went to war.
And no other airwaves. No one else would have him on.
That's right.
No
and
one.
You went to war and exonerated that man who had been right all along. And thank you for those efforts, by the way, because someone has to stand up to this system. And that's why you're a part of the WBAI family and why we exist, folks. But Gary does this because out of his passion. We do it out of our passion, but we can't do it without your pledges of support. Gary has put together this package for you, Deep State, 4 hours of an analysis of these deep state connections. And it's like, Gary, you have to ask the question, who can make the call to have a president assassinated? That means you think the president, first of all, we're told all the time the U.S. president is the most powerful man in the world. Someone was able to make a decision to have that person removed violently. That means he's not the most powerful people. So who does he work for? And that's what Deep State looks into. 516-620-3602. Gary.
Tony, to show you how prescient this is, the man who made the call to have John F. Kennedy assassinated was Alan Dulles. Alan Dulles had been the head of the CIA, and John F. Kennedy fired him.
That's right.
And then started to dismantle the people at the CIA because Dulles controlled everything. He controlled the secret team of 15. There were 15 people, as you will hear discussed in here, who were part of a permanent assassination team headed by a man named Shackley. Now, Shackley is the most decorated CIA officer in American history. He's got one of those big emblems down there, monikers on the wall of the CIA headquarters. Shackley was also the architect of the Phoenix program in Vietnam, which was just, it was genocide to the local people, torturing and killing innocent civilians, causing a lot of the, and he was also behind the implementation with Henry Kissinger of the Cambodian and the Cambodian bombing, which killed over 300,000 to 500,000 people. No one knows the full figure. The secret Cambodian, also in Laos.
Mm-hmm.
Shackley was recruited to be the man who would take the hit team that was not dismantled after the Bay of Pigs. And Dulles hated Kennedy. But up to that point, Kennedy respected the Dulles, and the two Dulles brothers controlled the largest private fund in the world. The Rockefellers, everyone had their money in that fund.
And who would think that moneyed interests have anything to, who would want to control world politics or world economies?
They knew that they had to control the economy and politics in order to control the resources that they were exploiting out of these colonial countries in Africa. The 54 countries in Africa, over 90% had colonial overreach, and they were exploiting diamonds and gold and different minerals and timber. And these were the people who could do it. You had to have control of the people who were running the country in order to not to have your work and your factories and your workers in any way stopped. So continuing the money flow was the key, and that's why they had interests worldwide. So this group of Americans were universalists. These were the ones who wanted a new world order. In fact, they're the ones who brought in Bush Sr., who was also, remember, head of the CIA. And he was the one that was Noriega's handler. Isn't interesting, the media never once, not a single member of the media ever asked Noriega, Noriega, weren't you, as head of Panama, weren't you also the one who oversaw all the drugs coming into your country from other places because you were an asset of the CIA? Didn't you work with Bush Sr.? And therefore, why did that go wrong that they invaded the country? And didn't they take you out of an embassy? You were hiding in an embassy, and they took you out. Isn't that embassy sovereign? None of these questions were ever asked in Noriega. You haven't seen Noriega. They're going to keep him deep in because until he dies, even when he was released out of American prison, they then took him to France, I believe, for a prison, and then back to Panama for prison because they don't want him opening his mouth and some journalist like Glenn Greenwald getting the story and putting it on The Intercept of who he worked with, George Bush Sr. Well, then that makes George Bush Sr. complicit in knowing all about Iran-Contra and drugs.
And, that, so and see, being the head of the CIA.
And they can control everything.
Absolutely.
Also, I'm not the only one. So now we know the CIA, the CDC's in their pocket. But here are a few other things, and this is all, and this the deep state is the, every other people tried, by the way. This is from Activist Post, quote, Clinton's FBI files literally mention, quote, the shadow government, end quote, at the State Department. Wow.
That is a wow. And we haven't heard that since that
That's
Kennedy
today.
Speech. Since the Kennedy speech
That's
is the
today.
First time we've heard something like that in this law in that many years, Gary. I mean, from
That's
a government
right.
source.
This is, Tony, this page 56 from the FBI files on the Clinton investigation states, quote, the shadow government at the State Department. That's just today.
Now, they call you and I conspiracy theorists when we use that terminology, but if the media uses it, and it's connected to the Clinton campaign. I guess it's real, huh?
And also, so not only do we know, for example, that I'll give you a historical look at this. Thomas Jefferson, in a letter to John Taylor in 1816, says, quote, "I sincerely believe with you that banking establishments are more endangered than standing armies." Then we have President John Calhoun, the seventh president, by the way, in 1825, who said, "A power has risen up in the government greater than the people themselves, consisting of many and various and powerful interests, combined in one mass and held together by the power of the vast surplus in the banks." Then John Hayden, mayor of New York City in 1918 to 1925, "The real menace of our republic is in the invisible government, which like a giant octopus sprawls its slimy legs over our city, states, and nation. And it's a small, powerful international banking elite." Theodore Roosevelt, quote, "Behind the ostensible government sits enthroned an invisible government, owing no allegiance and acknowledging no responsibility to the people. To destroy the invisible government, to befoul the unholy alliance between corrupt business and corrupt politics, is the first task of the statesmanship of the day." Edward Bernays, the father of public relations, in 1928, wrote in Propaganda, "The conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in the democratic society." And then Senator William Jenner, 1954, "Today the path to total dictatorship in the United States can be laid by strictly legal means. We have a well-organized political action group in this country determined to destroy our Constitution and establish a one-party state." Dwight Eisenhower, farewell address. John F. Kennedy, that was April 27th, 1961, that speech. And Senator Frank Church. Now, I knew Frank Church. I met with Church. Quote, "I know the capacity that there is to make tyranny total in America. And we must see it that this agency, the National Security Agency, and all agencies that possess this technology operate within the law and under proper supervision so that we never cross over that abyss. That is the abyss from which there is no return." Okay, that's what he said in 1975. Now we know the National Defense Authorization Act passed that abyss. The Patriot Act II passed that abyss. Now the agency was, the National Security Agency was found illegally taking the security information from every nation's government in the world, including all of our allies. Under Secretary Clinton, when she was Secretary of State, she demanded that the ambassadors be monitored, even wanting to know everything about every ambassador from every country at the UN. So they planted a CIA asset. Tony, I actually had a person come to me who works at the UN high up who told me that every single office of the UN has CIA assets, and therefore nothing is said over the phone, nothing is done that the CIA is not aware of. Now you look at the media. We also found under the Church investigation that 1,100 members of the media were associated with the CIA. Many of them were primary assets, meaning they were famous journalists who wrote articles, books, or television or radio, and they were primary assets.
Yeah, but
when
Gary,
was the last
sure
time anyone
now.
Asked that today?
That must have changed by now. Come on, surely that's changed by now.
Well, I'm sure there's no one in the media that's biased.
Right, not at all, Gary. 516-620-3602. That's why you have a WBAI, folks. Exactly what Gary is pointing out right now. You cannot rely on the media. Gary, I'm going to say something that I might not should say, but things strike me as odd. It's our job to ask questions. I'm watching the video of Hillary Clinton fainting, and I notice, Gary, that it's the 9/11 memorial, and there is a single cell phone camera that gets the video. Now I have to ask a question. It's the 9/11 memorial on 9/11. Hillary Clinton, top candidate for president, walking away, and no cameras follow? Only one cell phone video? Something doesn't make sense to me. That's why we're here, folks. We have to look at these things and point them out because the mainstream media will not. They replayed that video over and over and over, and I kept thinking, how is there just one cell phone video? Every media organization in the world watches the presidential elections in the U.S., and no one followed her when she walked away? Something stinks in Denmark. 516-620-3602. Just an $85 pledge for Deep State.
And, Tony, what we just found out from WikiLeaks is that Citigroup, and there's your Larry Summers, there's your Rubin, Robert Rubin, they were responsible for working with Bill Clinton in getting rid of the Glass-Steagall Act and the Commodities Future Trading Act and opening it up so you had casino capitalism, mm-hmm. and they both made hundreds of millions of dollars from it. Well, guess what? We just found out, and I've mentioned this several times. It was it was just when Barack Obama took office, and I said, I'll bet anything that his hope and change, which was just a smokescreen, all of Bill Clinton's major appointments will be his. Sure enough, who was head of his Council of Economic Advisors? Larry Summers. And every single economic advisor, foreign advisor, came from the same conservative neoliberal think tanks.
Because they're all
these
on the same
team. These
are
the fascists.
Yes.
Every single one of them. Now, the president can point up anywhere between 1,700 to 4,000 consultants. Many of these are the state behind. They go from industry, there's your deep state, into the government, as heading the FDA, heading this the CIA, heading U.S. Public Health Service, and then back in. Gerberding went over from overseeing vaccine safety at the CDC to a multi-million-dollar job with Merck in their vaccine division. How do we know that? Because it was declared when she sold $2.5 million worth of her stock. So whose interests was she serving when she was there, Merck's or the CDC and the consumer? We also found out that Citigroup, in emails from WikiLeaks to Clinton from Podesta, Citigroup then decided who would be in every position, important position, with Barack Obama. So now we know. It's a matter of record. They got caught. They never assumed they were doing this, but they conspired. So every single policymaking position of Obama was just to pass on of Clinton.
And so what, Gary?
So
what
Clinton's
we have
been in control the whole time.
So what we have to look at here is that not only were they caught, but when they're caught, our media does not lay this out for us in the same way that Gary Null just did, folks. That's what you're pledging to support here at WBAI. You will not hear this analysis. You will not hear this dissection of the Clinton machine or of the system, the machine itself, and how deeply embedded people are. And we have to go back to that point you made a moment ago, Gary, about how people start in a government position, go into industry or come from industry, and then go from that industry into a government position where they can control the best interests, set policy for the best interests of that industry. They set some laws in place, go back into that industry and make millions of profits based on the laws they have created. This, folks, is what deep state is. It is that intersection of money and power behind the scenes that you don't get to see, the newspapers won't tell you, and the television stations won't tell you, but you know who will? WBAI. You know who will? Gary Null. And that's exactly why he produced this discussion, Deep State, 4 hours. 4 hours, folks, of this kind of information for a pledge of just $85. Call us now, 516-620-3602. Gary and I have spent a lot of time talking during this program. We need now to do that heavy lifting, to do the part of raising money to sustain WBAI. We need you to join us on the phone. Join those people who are already on the phone and pledge that $85. It's in a beautiful set. I just was looking at it on my desk this morning, Gary. 4 hours of material that is crucial, but that you won't get from the mainstream. Where do you get it? The Gary Null Show. Not just today, not just once. You get it all of the time on The Gary Null Show. Where do you get this information? WBAI. Do you understand now what your dollars are supporting? 516-620-3602. It's the kind of conversation that we can't have often even in polite society, Gary, let alone on TV or radio. What strikes me is that your colleagues, your friends will shut you down when you try to bring these topics up, even when you can point to emails, even when you can point to facts, even when you can point to Bernie Sanders and say, we were all robbed. It was a conspiracy. It is a conspiracy that we didn't get the presidential candidate that we wanted. That was and is a conspiracy. They haven't stopped, folks. They control the world from behind the scenes. Who can call up and have a president assassinated? Ask yourself that question. There is power behind the powerful. 516-620-3602, just an $85 pledge. Gary?
They were so good at it, they even anticipated how they could cover up the investigation. So they got J. Edgar Hoover involved. And all the people who are involved in the assassination planning, we know all their names. We give them in this. We actually tell you who the shooters are. One of those shooters still alive today. We tell you how they did it, where they did it, and how they covered it up, and who was a part of it, why they brought Earl Warren onto the Warren Commission. Now, who do you think put together the Warren Commission? Well, Alan Dulles.
Yep. And then when all you right. think about how compromised that Hoover was in the first place, I mean, the fact that they knew of his sexual preferences, they knew of his proclivities for dressing in women's clothing. Once they have photos of this and or information, he'll do whatever they tell him to do. That's how it works, folks, or that's one of the ways it works. And we have to have that discussion. We have to talk about it here on WBAI because they won't talk about it there. I tell people all the time on these airways, Gary, when you pick up your cable bill and you're sending money to MSNBC and CNN and Fox, you're paying them to lie to you. Send that money here so we can tell you the truth. That's what this is about. 516-620-3602. We only have 7 minutes left in this hour. We need you to get on the phone and make a pledge of support for $85. Ask for Gary Null's Deep State. That's what
Four
we're going to send out.
4 hours.
4 hours of material.
4 hours,
folks.
And it is the most gripping because he goes clear back to the beginning. Who were the original families? How did they decide what projects to work on? How did they pool their money? How did they influence everything? Now, this is from 1960. Remember Senator Daniel Inouye?
Yeah.
Here's what he said, quote, "There exists a shadow government with its own Air Force, its own Navy, its own fundraising mechanisms, and the ability to pursue its own ideas of the national interest, free from all checks and balances and free from the law itself."
Come on, the rich people have to follow the same rules we do, Gary. You're making that up.
That's correct. Well, here's one rich person, David Rockefeller. This is in his memoirs. Mm-hmm. Quote, "For more than a century, ideological extremists at either end of the political spectrum have seized upon well-publicized incidents such as my encounter with Castro to attack the Rockefeller family and for the inordinate influence they claim we wield over American political and economic institutions. Some even believe we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalists, and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure, one world, if you will. If that's the charge, I stand guilty, and I'm proud of it." Bill Clinton.
Wait a minute. Can we absorb that first before you go further? David Rockefeller, who every time I bring him up, somebody's like, "You're a conspiracy theorist," said, "If I'm accused of that, I'm guilty and I'm proud of it." That's what we're talking about. And now when we bring this to the fore on the air, people yell names and point. I can point to this man's own words that you just quoted, Gary Null. He claims responsibility. Don't call me names when I tell you about it. 516-620-3602. Learn about it for yourself. It's here. It's in Deep State. Gary Null has already done the work. With Danny Sheehan, there is no more consummate an insider than Danny Sheehan. He was there as this was going on, folks. 516-620-3602, an $85 pledge for 4 hours of material exploring this, analyzing this, exposing them for who they are and where they are. 516-620-3602. Make your pledge. I can't tell you. You know, Gary, this is kind of what drives me politically. The urge to just inform people about this and to let people know. And to let people know that the media and history lies to us and we have to re-educate ourselves. We have to learn these things for ourselves. They're not going to teach us in school. They're not going to teach us on CNN, but you will learn it on WBAI and certainly on the Gary Null Show. 516-620-3602. That was David Rockefeller himself, who, by the way, I might point out, is 107 years old and just had his 7th heart transplant.
And here is the latest also from WikiLeaks. Quote, "Wall Street built the Obama cabinet. Michael Froman, a former Citibank executive who single-handedly built the entire cabinet of what was supposed to be the Main Street president Remember, Citibank received the largest sum from the bailout, $2.3 trillion. This is a Princeton University study. From the study, they say the U.S. is an oligarchy, not a democracy. All right? From Jimmy Carter, is correct that the U.S., quote, is no longer democracy, it is an oligarchy. Quote, this is from Tufts University Professor Michael Glennon. Vote all you want, the secret government won't change. WikiLeaks exposes George Soros controlling Clinton. Yeah, and a new discovery from the WikiLeaks DNC email cache exposes George Soros issuing orders to Hillary Clinton while she was Secretary of State, and a follow-up investigation reveals that Clinton carried out his instruction to the letter. In the journal Foreign Affairs, which is a highly respected journal, quote, America's hidden government, the cost of a submerged state. This is the New York Times. Quote, small pool of rich donors dominate election giving. This is from Global Research. Is the U.S. a fascist society? Fascism is a political economic structure which serves corporate interests. This is from a former NASA, National Security Agency chief, on latest leaked Dragnet spy program. It's real and it's spectacular. And by the way, it's not Russia leaking stuff. Members of Congress denied access to basic information about the National Security Agency. So when the Congress wanted to investigate to see who was behind all this, they were not allowed. So we have a Congress that is not allowed to tell the truth. And if you doubt me, ask over the last 30 years which House member and which senator came forward and said, I'm on an intelligence committee. I've reviewed information that shows the government agencies are acting illegally. They're not allowed to. They sign a non-disclosure form, a secrecy arrangement. So on the one hand, we have people who know the truth that we're being spied upon, our rights are being violated, that innocent, nonviolent protesters are infiltrated, profiles made on every single resistor and protester in the United States, that are none of this is legal, and yet not a single legislator has had the courage to come forward and say, I'm going to tell you what our government's doing. But Snowden had the courage to do it. Chelsea Manning had the courage to do it. Drake had the courage to do it. Biney had the courage to do it. Others have come forward. Every one of them has been published. So we then have this whole discussion about, and Hillary Clinton's doing the same thing now. Well, you know, look at the source of this information. It's Russia, and you shouldn't be reading these emails, and these are private. But you committed a crime.
Right.
Why don't you focus upon the crime you committed rather than who reported on the crime?
That's right.
Why do you want to make the person that reported the crime the criminal instead of the people who were the criminals who created the crime?
It's the way it works, and that's why we have to be this voice. That's why WBAI is here. It's why the Gary Null Show is here. We will hold them to accountability. And you heard, it's not Gary saying it. It's not just me saying it. You heard the mainstream publications who have mentioned this, but not just that, studies from colleges showing these realities. Folks, wake up. What you see on TV is not what's happening in real life. That is a presentation for you. It's why we have to have an alternative media, why we have to have an alternative voice, why we have to have a Gary Null Show and a WBAI, because you're not going to get the details, and certainly not in any long-form conversation in the mainstream. 516-620-3602. We have 1 minute left in this hour, folks. We need every phone line lit up. It's just an $85 pledge. The set is called Deep State. It is by Gary Null, and you know the quality of this man's work. Get a copy of that. He is in conversation with Danny Sheehan, who starts, as he said, from the beginning, from the families who put this together. And he takes us through the process to see who is the power behind the power. It can be yours, will be yours, when you pledge at the $85 level. We've got to take a quick station break here. Please continue to call us at 516-620-3602.
This is Phil Donahue, and you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5.
And welcome back. You're listening to the Gary Null Show. My name is Tony Bates. Of course, I'm in studio with Reggie Johnson, and Gary Null is here with us, and we are talking about his creation, his investigative journalistic effort, Deep State. He's in conversation with Danny Sheehan, and he is breaking down the folks who run the world from behind the scenes. Gary, we have a few minutes left. Tell folks what else. I mean, the revelation that you just brought up a moment ago, the shadow government thing, being in the news today, as I've been talking about the shadow government for 10 or 15 years and being called a nut job for mentioning it, it's in the news today.
It's accelerating. Until up to Election Day, we'll have more and more. But let me explain for a few moments why I did this series. I did it because I began to see in the activism that I engage in how everyone was being manipulated, that no matter what truth you brought forward, it was always blocked, and supposedly by legitimate journalists. And one of the legitimate journalists out there, a highly respected journalist, was a man named Pat McGrady Jr. And Pat McGrady came to me one day and said, "Gary, I've got a story. I can't break it." "Why not?" "Because they wouldn't publish this." Now, he worked for a very famous major news media. In fact, he was at one time he was their Russian bureau chief. He said, "But maybe you have another way of getting it out." And I said, "What's the story?" "About how the American Cancer Society really works, about our whole cancer establishment. Our whole cancer establishment is a lie." And I said, "Well, who says?" He said, "I'll introduce you to the source." The source was his father, Pat McGrady Sr., who had been the head for 25 years of the American Cancer Society's Public Relations Division. So I met with him, and he went over all this stuff. He gave me all these files. So over a period of several months, I then began to interview other people based upon the information I had. And I then wrote a story. Mother Jones wouldn't publish it, even though the person at Mother Jones at the time was the niece of a person who had been attacked by the cancer establishment.
Wow.
Dr. Manuel Rivisi. I went to Rampers, I went to Atlantic, I went to Harper's, I went to every liberal publication, but nobody would touch it because it was a sacred cow. And one person said, "We touch that, we'll never get funding again." Ms. Magazine said that.
Mm.
And I finally got an acceptance on it from a little Upper East Side newspaper, and they published it. And it won a big award, and that was the first major article ever published at a national level against showing the corruption in the cancer establishment. 2 years later, I'd already published three more. 60 Minutes did a piece on my Lawrence Burton suppression of alternative therapies, and 2020 in Geraldo won an Emmy, and Judy Moses, who I work with, she used my material on Dr. Stanislaw Brzezinski. So I went on to do a whole series, but I started to see that other areas were the same way. Scientists would come to me and say, "The pharmaceutical industry controls everything. They control every grant. They control who gets accepted, who doesn't, and it's all about the funding. They control it all." And then they showed me the inner workings. So once I saw the inner workings, I wrote about it. And then I started seeing that the federal agencies, the U.S. Public Health Service, the FDA, the National Security Agency, the National Cancer Institute, would do nothing. It was as if no matter how much science you presented them, they didn't care. They had their orders, but they would never show you who those orders were from. They would always have plausible deniability. And so I began to see this. And the real awakening was that after I exposed cancer and then heart disease and the statin drug fraud, and then all the psychiatric drugs, the antidepressive, Zoloft, Paxil, Effexor, and Prozac, and how it was actually causing suicide and how it wasn't helping anyone. And there was no science behind it. There is no such thing as a brain chemical imbalance. But no one wanted to deal with this because it's a very powerful industry. Big advertising. You look on television and see how many ads are for drugs. So I began to see the cooperation of major media not telling the full story and only taking on targets that were soft targets or that everyone could agree wouldn't be a problem. But you never saw 60 Minutes investigate the claims about rape of Bill Clinton. They won't do that. They have a tape on it. They won't play it.
And if you haven't seen it, folks, you should Google Bill Clinton rape. It's astounding.
Well, I happen to have interviewed the person who was on the inside. I got something. He's not talking today. I can't get him to talk today. But back when Clinton was Arkansas Attorney General, I was doing an investigation on where the drugs were coming, and I had already been given tips from my sources that the Iran-Contra pipeline was bringing drugs in the United States, and a huge amount of weapons were going out, and Arkansas was number one place. And so I didn't know about his aspirations for president. I just knew that I spoke with someone who was on his inner circle, meaning every day when he and his wife and Hubble, this other man, would be there. He was his go-to person. So every dirty deed had to get done. It was this man who did it. And when he told me the things he did, and he told me how all the politics in Arkansas worked, and he told him about the cocaine and all the drugs use and the women, and one woman who was going to talk, how they put her into a prison system so deep you couldn't get to her. So all this went on, and this man was on the inner circle. So I had everything, and yet nobody wanted to hear it. Nobody wanted to know about this couple. And there were people who supported this couple, powerful people. It didn't matter whether they're Democrat or Republicans. It was people who saw Bill Clinton as charming, charismatic, which he is, but Hillary Clinton, absolutely maniacal and politically motivated, which she is. And then how did she make the $1,000 turn into $100,000? And I got to interview the people who were a part of that whole thing, the police officers, state police officers, who talked about bringing envelopes full of cash stuffed to the brims to the Clinton's office and handed it to me. I got to interview all this. The prosecutor was brought in, the head of the IRS who was brought in, all of whom were destroyed or threatened, and none of their investigations would go forward. Well, who in the hell is powerful enough in the United States that when you are a state attorney and you want to convene a grand jury on someone and they block it, or if you do get a grand jury, they block who's going to testify? Who's got that power? It has to be someone bigger than anyone in the state, and it has to be someone who is a part of that. Now, who was the governor? It was Lawrence Rockefeller. And who was the who created the environment? Fulbright, to give him Rhodes Scholar, because Bill Clinton's no academic bright bulb, but he had all the right people going for him. So I documented everything. I must have spent 10,000 hours over a long period of time talking with the people who were there at the beginning. Because if you don't know who's there at the beginning and how they got to where they are and what they did and what techniques they used, then you won't appreciate how they've gotten here today. Except today, they've got thousands upon thousands of people who are technocrats, smart people, graduated from good schools, who share the same culture. They came from, many of them, the same academic background. They run in the same circles, but interlocking boards. And so when I started seeing that it didn't matter what I wrote, didn't matter what I exposed, I could do a documentary called Autism Made in USA. I could do The Drugging of Our Children. I could do Poverty, Inc. I've done over 100 documentaries. It wouldn't matter except to the people watching, because it wasn't going to be published in the news. It wasn't going to get any good reviews. It wasn't going to have any legislation. It wouldn't matter. In fact, I'll show you how bad it was, Tony. When I got my audience, 1,200 members of my audience, with one day's notice to go to Albany to block or stall or challenge the Mandatory Medical Vaccine Act,
and thank you
which
for
had
that,
it passed, every single doctor, nurse, everyone working in any hospital facility in New York State would have been required to have gotten four vaccines, all four containing mercury, 100 micrograms of mercury. Now, not a single doctor showed up. Some nurses did, but my audience did. And I managed to, and Fox was there, and Bloomberg was there. There's some media there. And we had a beautiful presentation. Over 100 people had posters, and they finally invited us inside. So once I went inside and met with the top medical doctors for the state and for the governor, and I gave them 110 studies showing that the vaccines that they were giving were dangerous and had no basis in protection, including the flu vaccine, which is just stupid and doesn't work. In any case, these were all their own science, only mainstream peer-reviewed science. And then they decided they were forced to hold hearings. So now I go down at 8 o'clock in the morning, so I'm very first one there. Now, the rule in a hearing is when it's an open public hearing, you sign a card, you put your name and other information, and then you're the first, and then this next person becomes the second, and so it goes. I was the very first one there. No one else was there. I was a half hour before anyone else. Do you know what time they allowed me to speak?
What time?
Very last person, 8 o'clock at night.
Wow.
I waited there 12 hours. Now, when all the media were there, they had pro-vaccine doctors who came up and made their talk, and then the media split. After everyone left, and there was no one left, and they called me up. Now, thank goodness, there was a fellow there who turns out was a medical doctor who filmed me just with his, you know, little camera.
Mm-hmm.
And I, and it's posted up on I think there's 500,000 or more views of this, because if you go up on YouTube and you look at Gary Nall testifying under oath at this group, and here were the top docs in the state representing the state medical board and the scientists for the state medical board. It was an excruciating situation, because I wouldn't let engage with anything. The other people were all pro-vaccines. I wasn't. Mm-hmm. So I let them have it. Until I let them have it so much that they stopped asking me questions. Anyone have any more questions for – no. I said, well, I still have something to say. I'm not finished.
Well, that's the happy ending right there, Gary, though. But this represents that voice in the wilderness that will not be silenced. You represent that voice, and WBAI represents that voice. That's why that kind of activism, for real, Gary, on the ground, not just behind the microphone talking, being there with the people, meeting them, saying, no, you're not going to do this to our fellows in this city, not in this state. That's what makes a difference, and that's why we're here. There were many people on this radio station involved in that effort to stop that from happening. You went firsthand and challenged them. That's what we're talking about, folks. That's why your pledges matter. 516-620-3602. You hear in Gary's description, again, the collusion between the governmental forces, the money powers, and the media. The media. They won't tell these stories. As Gary said, he's made films exposing lots of these issues. Brilliant documentaries. Gary's film on vaccines is considered the best film in the industry, the best film ever made on the subject. And that can't get airtime. That can't get a 60 Minutes investigation. That can't get him time on Anderson Cooper. That can't get him time. In fact, Gary, do you know, I don't know if you remember this, when I first put you back on the air here at WBAI, Anderson Cooper called here to interview me because I'd put you back on the air. But he hasn't called Gary to talk to him about autism. He hasn't called Gary to talk to him about vaccinations. Want to know why he was back on the air here? But he hasn't called Gary to talk about the Clinton stuff that he's uncovered. Folks, we do it here on WBAI. They're never going to call Gary. But we will have Gary on this station because of your pledges of support. It is just $85. The four-hour CD set is called Deep State. It's Gary in conversation with Danny Sheehan from the beginning, from the families who run this. And stop telling me, you know what, Gary, I want to relay another anecdote. Our colleague, Jonathan Alexander, in KPFK, he's the IT guy, and he was arguing with some folks about conspiracy theories. And Jonathan said, first of all, don't tell me there are no conspiracies. I'm a black man. I've been a victim of them my whole life. Number two, the biggest conspiracy that we have on the air is just keep voting for a Democrat, and everything will be okay. Keep voting for a Democrat, and black people will get equal rights. Keep voting for a Democrat, and women will be treated equally. That's the conspiracy theory, not the exposure of these people behind the scenes who have this power, the power to kill presidents, the power to stop our vote, not through an election, but through an omission, by leaving Bernie Sanders out, by taking him out of the equation. We were all cheated, not Bernie. The American people were cheated. 516-620-3602. Who has that power? It's laid out right here in Deep State. A four-hour, four-disc set of the powers and analysis of the powers behind the powers by an insider, Danny Sheehan. Folks, I am telling you, this drives me. See, folks, that's what we have here. We do have Gary Nall here. He's not being impugned. He is on these airwaves with a free voice to disseminate this information, the amount of research he does. I know when I was here years ago, Gary, I spoke to you, and I was like, how is it that you can hear a show in L.A. and hear one here and then call me in the morning and sound refreshed? And you're like, I work all the time, Tony. I don't sleep that much. I work all of the time. And that's what these efforts bear out, folks. Again, we're offering you Deep State, a four-disc set. It's Gary Nall with Danny Sheehan in conversation, exposing the power behind the powers that be. Because someone can, in, as he said, as you heard Gary point out earlier, studies show that Wall Street picked President Obama's cabinet. So while we were here from our hearts supporting his presidency, while we were here from our hearts supporting his efforts and his policies, we were really supporting the deep state connection. Not necessarily
yes.
what Obama was. We were supporting the deep state, folks. 516-620-360.